about this precious holy book. And we closing out here about John the Baptist. Christ was in the 11th chapter of Matthew. Christ was kind of making a little light of the Pharisees and their attitude toward the kingdom of God. He said, "You're like children in the marketplace." It is like children, verse 16, likened to children sitting in the markets, calling unto their fellows. And you know, Jesus put those children in his midst. And I talked to you last Sunday at the dedication of his child about how he put his hands on them and took them in his arms. And he told them, you know, lest you become as a child. And he's got two characteristics of a child he talked about. And that one is the innocency and humility that a child's faith. But now, the Lord never requires us to be childish. Childlike, but not childish. I know I've busted your bubble now. But that's what he was rebuking these Pharisees. They weren't childlike. They were childish. They were out in the marketplace, and one of them was pretending to have a wedding, and they couldn't get the other parties to dance with them. And then, so they switched to a funeral, and they pretended they was having a funeral, and they couldn't get nobody to cry. It's just like a bunch of youngins, ain't it? And if they're not having their way, they just don't have the victory hardly. That's the way these Pharisees were. John the Baptist came, and he was a little different personality than Jesus, and they said, "That guy's a maniac. And, you know, he won't eat with nobody, won't drink with anybody, stays off to himself. Wears that old camel hair and leather girdle and preaches against sin. I don't like him. He's of the devil." And then Jesus come along, and he went to all the parties. He ate with the sinners and celebrated and even turned the water to wine, and they said, "I don't like him either." "Well, what do you like?" I ain't talking to y'all. I'm just talking to whoever might get this tape. "Well, what do you like? You ever see anybody hard to suit, hard to please? Have you? Like the fellow that got married, and after the honeymoon, his wife fixed his first breakfast and brought him a couple of eggs. You've heard me tell that. He pulled up on her. "What's the matter, honey? You fried both of these eggs." He went back in. She come back out. She throwed them out and scrambled these eggs and brought them back in. He buffed up again. "Well, what's the matter now, honey? You scrambled these eggs. I wanted one fried and one scrambled." Y'all know anybody like that? "Oh, it ain't over." She went back and come back and fried one, scrambled the other, and he throwed a fit. She fried the wrong one. You say, "I don't believe that." You do believe that. You know people just about like that. Give them a bowl of ice cream, it's too cold. Huh? These people weren't, you know why they weren't happy? I'm going to tell you why you're not happy in church either. You're looking for something that ain't there. You're wanting your way, Them Pharisees, they wanted their way. They weren't going to let John come in and tear their kingdom down. They weren't going to, and even though they act like they loved Moses, but, you know, Moses prophesied about Jesus Christ. They act like they loved the prophets, but they hated the Messiah that they prophesied about. How many thinks that we need a revival that will adjust our attitude? Huh? Amen. I'm going to move on from this scripture here for obvious reasons. I'm piped and you've not danced. And I may try a little funeral music and see if you'll mourn with me. Look at this. It says you act like a bunch of children. I don't want to be accused of that, do you? How many like to be mature? He said, look, you've been around church. Paul said, you've been around church. And you're at the place in your experience where you should be teaching others. But here I still have to teach you. you know, the milk of the word is good for converts and those. And you know, really, we can't build our spiritual experience upon emotions and feelings. I mean, those you can't. Just like them two girls that got saved up there in Staunton, Virginia. They, you know, they're going to have to get them a Bible. They're going to have to learn the doctrines of the Bible. Amen. You say, no, as long as they stay feeling good. No, they're going to have to learn how to live for God. And you do that from hearing the word and preaching, praying, and listening to preaching. So these Pharisees, they, he said, what went you out to see? Amen. A reed shaking in the wind, all these different things. You went out to see a prophet, yay, more than a prophet. Sometimes I wonder what people go to church for, what they're looking for. Amen. You know, and really, I know that we're to have unity, but the church of God is not uniform, if you understand what I'm saying. It ain't a cookie cutter thing. Everybody look the same. Aren't you glad of that? There's standards to live by. I understand that. But we are to have unity. But God's church is diverse. He's got all kinds of different people, different gifts and different diversities in the church. Amen. But these Pharisees, they weren't pleased with anything. He says, whereunto I liken this generation, as children sitting in the marketplace, we piped and you've not danced and mourned and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, hath the devil. And the Son of Man cometh eating and drinking, and they say, behold a man gluttonous. Criticism. Criticizing the Son of God. How many has ever, now I'm going to just be honest with you. Ain't nobody likes to be criticized. Now, some of you wives have got used to it after all these years with that guy. Huh? Or some of you fellas have got used to it, but nobody likes it, do they? I mean, I don't like it. I mean, you know, you have to get over it pretty quick, you know. But like Brother Ralph Horton, told us young preachers, we'd get up and beat up on ourselves, you know. And he told this one evangelist, I thought it was pretty funny. He said, don't get up there and beat up on yourself. My people will do that for you. Huh? Yeah. Criticism. They criticize John the Baptist. Now, when people start criticizing you, just say they did Jesus the same way. Amen. And you know what he was doing? They criticized him for being a friend of sinners. You know what he pleaded when they said he's a friend of sinners? You know what? Guilty as charged. Now, he didn't get out there and sin with them, and he didn't go to their haunts and places they go. He was a friend to them. Told them the truth. Amen. Loved them. Died for them. Amen. I all criticism is not bad if it's, as they say, constructive criticism. Some people will tell you things, and just because it's the truth, they think it's okay to tell you. How many knows that's not always right? You may be the ugliest thing in the state, but if somebody's constantly telling you that, even though it might be true, it'll hurt your feelings, won't it? You don't think it would? You better believe it would. I like the gospel truth. It's good news, don't you? And so these folks were telling that the Lord was us. But here's what the Bible said, but wisdom is justified of her children. In other words, I love this. Yeah, and I don't know exactly the interpretation of this. You could find your own, but it don't matter what you think about Jesus. Amen. Wisdom is justified of her children. Christ was Christ, no matter what you think about him. Amen. John was a prophet and a man of God, no matter what you hypocrites say about him. Amen. I'm not talking about y'all now. Y'all drying up on me here. Somebody smile. Amen. Amen. Wisdom is justified of her children. If you'll live right, amen, those that are living the right life, which is wisdom, that's the right life, amen, your life should justify people living wisdom. How many understands what I'm talking about? Amen. Somebody watch your life and they, old so-and-so goes to church down there at King Mountain. They'll steal off of it. They lie. They ain't sorry. They won't work. No, that ain't right, is it? That's a bad influence. But you take somebody that really is going to live for God, amen, somewhere down the road, Brother Zane, amen, somebody's going to say, you know, that man had it. That woman had it. Amen. That's right. They living for God and going to church and living wholeness pays off. How many knows it does pay off? I'm moving on to the next scripture here for a few minutes. I want to deal with this. I've done dealt with that some. Then began Jesus to upbraid. How many knows what the word upbraid means? That's not a real common word in our English language. But I think you can understand what it says. He began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. He began to upbraid them. He began to rebuke them, criticize them. The cities where he had been doing his miracles. Now, we read several in these first few chapters of Matthew. He opened the blinded eyes. He healed lepers. He done wonderful things. And when you study this out, half of those miracles that we've already studied up here was done in this city that he's getting ready to rebuke. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Amen. And I think you understand this. And I don't know how deep to go with this. But how many knows that whom much is given, much is required? Brother Zane asked me a question last Sunday. I don't guess he'll care for me mentioning it. If he does, he can tell me later. But he asked me if I thought, like I mentioned the word equity, equitable. Now that word does not mean equal necessarily. It means fair and just. But in heaven, how many knows that, like in this situation right here, those whom much is given, much is required. That separates people's responsibility just a little bit. How many knows that someone has never heard? Now, you may not even understand what I'm preaching. I don't know if I understand it a lot, but the Bible does teach, amen, that when you are given a great opportunity to know, there's more expected out of you than someone has not been given. Now, you may not feel like that. How many thinks that that's true? Huh? That's what he's teaching right here. He said in these cities, and he names these cities over. And I want you to notice, I remember Brother Barnett preached a message one time on a sin worse than sodomy. Now, I know, but you'll see that text right here. And he said, let me read it to you. He says, woe. He began to upbraid the cities. God help me preach to you this morning. Won't you look at these red words? If you got a Bible, red letter, that word woe. Now, I could preach 30 minutes on that right there. Amen. That word woe speaks of judgment and really pity too. Woe unto you. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Now these were places where he had visited and done mighty works. I want to ask you, could your name be in there? I'm going to tell you, you're good at ignoring me, but I'm good at just keep on harping at you too. Let's put your name in there. I'd sure hate for it to be, but it could. Listen, woe to thee, Randy Webb. For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in this one or that one, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, you know better. You saw me heal the sick. You saw me raise the dead. You saw me cure lepers. And you haven't repented. Do you know what we're responsible of when we come in contact with the Son of God and realize who he is? The instant we realize who he is, you know what we're required to do? How many thinks they know? Huh? We're required to, amen, honor him as the Lord. You know how you honor him? Not with a Christmas card. You honor him by living your life in submission to him. The first thing you have to do is get rid of your sins. Amen. You say, well, I just don't know. These cities, amen, and he pronounced a woe upon them. Now, I know we're in a society that a lot of, now, preachers are changing. I read a few books along and pick up a new one just to see if there's a new good book out there. There are not very many. But I picked up a few books from from other denominations where they're starting to realize that if they don't start preaching against some sin here, it's going to swallow their whole movement up. Huh? Sin will do that. You know that? And so, this woe, how many knows the Son of God was an humble Savior? He died and bled and was an humble Savior. But, brother, he was no pushover. Huh? And he said to them, and here's the lesson I want you to get this morning. He said to these cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida. And then he goes on down and he talks about, let me read a little more. He said, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Now, there's a difference there, Brother Zane, in the judgment of God. It's going to be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for Bethsaida and Chorazin. Amen. Now, I want to ask us, how many of you this morning feel privileged, amen, that you have been introduced to the gospel, been exposed to holiness preaching, known people that live their life? You know what always bothered me, it seemed like, when through the years, you'd see, I preached to many of them. I remember one time a little lady died. I didn't know her. She had come to a revival. I preached when I was just a young boy. Well, I call it a boy now, 21. I didn't know her. Something in my preaching she appreciated. And she wrote in her old family Bible. She didn't have any children. She didn't have any relatives, but she wrote in her Bible, and her nephew knew it was there. She wrote in her family, in that big Bible, want Randy Webb to preach my funeral, and she dated it. I mean, it was years. I remember going up in these, up here in one of these mountains over here. I mean, way up there, couldn't hardly get there. There was about eight of us there. She was poor and couldn't afford a funeral in the funeral home. So they did a graveside thing, and her nephew went and carried a battery-powered box up there and played Go Rest High on the Mountain. And there we was, way up in here in one of these old country cemeteries. It was eight of us there. It was three of us, me, the preacher there, and the nephew and the funeral directors, and another man standing out there. And that little old lady, I went in before they took her up, and just a little gray-haired, godly-looking mother, and nobody. And I went to those funerals before, and I went to some, and the old nephew there, and I knew him, not real well, but he was just a rascal. But, you know, he honored mom, honored aunt, or ever how relation she was to him, if any at all, really. I don't know. But, you know, I've seen people go that mom held on and lived right, but they don't care to live right. They don't care. They love mom. But I'm going to tell you, this influence, I believe if you've had a godly influence in your life, you're going to be held accountable for what you do. This might be a little too tight for us this morning. Amen. But I'll tell you what, and you may not understand what I'm trying to preach today. Amen, but I'm going to tell you, there was a woe upon these cities. How many knows that God will put judgment upon cities? How many are fearing and dreading the day when America is judged? Now, let's read a little more. I won't give you a whole lot of this because it's so pretty out. Or be preaching on the resurrection or something. But look at this. And thou, Capernaum, that was the hometown of Peter, which are exalted unto heaven. Capernaum, exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Wow. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Is that amazing or what? Are y'all understanding what I'm talking about? Amen. How many appreciates the influence of godly principles and character in your life? Huh? How many appreciates the Holiness Church? You could have a better preacher, I know that, but I've told you the truth for 26 years. How many appreciates the truth? How many know? And you know, I've heard people say, Brother Bob, and I don't, I mean, I've actually been talking to people, And they say, now don't tell me no more. Because if I don't know it, I won't be held accountable for it. Well, that's not really, if you have opportunity and access. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people across this country. Are y'all helping me? I want to ask you, are you living up to what you know? Is that too hard a question, Brother Zane? Are we living what we know? That's what the Lord was saying to Capernaum. You know, you've saw me. You've witnessed the miracles that I have done in Capernaum. Half of my miracles to this point were done. I want to tell you something. You've been raised in a home where there was prayer and the Bible read and people live right in a service where the Holy Ghost moved. You're without excuse. Capernaum, you're exalted under the heavens. You're going to be brought down. And then he brings Sodom into this. Everybody knows and just detests the horrible, unnatural sins of Sodom. But sodomy was not the only sin that Sodom had. They were full of idleness and pride to go along with it. God bless you. I know this ain't too good. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, God is going to expect us. God's been good to me, and I'm not going to back up on it and get an old crawdad spirit and go to back it up on God. Amen. I know I have been blessed beyond measure, and God's going to require it of me because I have been blessed by Him, and I have seen things God has done. Amen. For me, amen, not to accept the Lord. You know, how do you get out? How do you not get this judgment? He said, because you haven't repented. All they would have had to done was repented. And they should have repented. Why should they have repented? They should have repented because the Son of God had went to great lengths to prove Himself to them. And this may blow your mind. I feel like preaching to you a little. This may blow your mind, but He said if Sodom had had the opportunity you had, they would still be here. They would have repented. That's what the Son of God said. They didn't have the opportunity you had. What kind of opportunity do you have? Are you living up to your opportunity? Are you? Well, if you're saved, if you've repented of your sins, amen, that's what it takes. How many knows that's what it takes? You know, I heard this preach. I'll be done here in just a little bit. I heard this preach before, and I had reservations about, you know, you look at the rich man in hell. How many knows there was a rich man that went to hell? And he, I preached a sermon. I don't know if I preached it here or not, but I titled the message, A Life Remembered from a Hell Forgotten. And you say, well, what? And just think about this. The Bible said that the rich man went to hell, and then the Lord told him, when he said, send Lazarus to dip his finger, this is what he said to him, son, remember in thy lifetime. You mean to tell me, when I studied that, Brother Bob, I got the idea that in hell, if people go to hell, they will remember the opportunities they had in life to do better. Because Abraham looked at him and said, son, remember in thy lifetime thou had thou good things and Lazarus evil. You remember how good I was to you, Lazarus? Or to you, rich man? You remember how good? Hey, I don't believe there'll be one person in this house, not the first one, go to the judgment without. That's what worries me about our children growing up. And I'm gonna tell you, if they don't pray through, they can be just as ornery and just as deceitful as any kid in the world. I don't care if they're sitting on a church pew or a bar stool. I mean, I'm telling you, they'll get on the computer and look at filth. They'll talk dirty. They'll carve on the pews. They'll lie. I'm telling you, that's right. If they don't get converted. But you know what's going to be sad for them is when they've sung. And I remember Sister Jennifer here. I don't know if you were coming then. I don't think so. But how many remembers that youth rally we had one night? And I think Tracy Boyd was preaching it. And Sister Marilyn cried out and screamed out a blood-curdling scream in that service. And I was sitting right over here. And I you can take it for what it's worth. But I had a vision sitting right over here. And I got up. And I got out here and I told them what I just saw sitting over here. The Holy Ghost moved in there. And I remember seeing these children going down, you know, walking along. How many remembers me telling that? Anybody remember? I saw these children going flowers along the path, and they were quoting Psalm 100, and they were walking down the path and just picking and smelling those flowers. But I noticed that path as I saw that vision. I saw that path was inclined. And as it got closer to the chasm, the flowers died. The path got steeper and slippery. And those children just kept right on quoting Scripture, and they were walking right into hell, one after another. You say, well, preacher, what in the world? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they weren't converted. They could quote Scripture, but they hadn't been converted. And they were walking right into hell. They had a great opportunity. They grew up in Sunday school. Psalm 100 is the first Scripture, isn't it, in kindergarten when they make a joy. Is that the one that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and come before his presence with singing? And they quote that in kindergarten. But you know, our children could quote Psalm 100 in kindergarten and still go to hell. But you know what's going to be so sad? And you say, boy, this is tough. It's just my lesson. Amen. You know what is so tough is when them children grow right up in church. And a lot of times mom and daddy tells them how good they are. Huh? You know, you don't need to go overboard on that. I mean, you need to compliment them. I don't mean browbeat them and that they never please you. But, brother, just to let them think that they're just fine like they are without getting written right with God? No way. Isn't it going to be sad for a child to leave this world and think they're okay, come into the judgment of God, and the Lord say, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew who you are. I don't know who you are. I've never known you. But I did mighty works in your name. I played the drums. I played the bass. I played music. I don't know you. I'm going to tell you, and I hope this ain't saying it in the wrong way. I got five more minutes. But hell's going to be hot for that kind of people. Because your memory don't burn up. And you're going to I really believe, amen, that people will remember services where the Spirit of the Lord pulled on them. I believe they will. I didn't used to believe that, but I believe it. After studying and reading and praying about it, I believe that we're going to remember. And, you know, I preached on a life remembered from a hell forgotten. People have forgot about hell. Hell is just a word they use in slang talk. Huh? I remember when I was in high school, that goofy rock and roll band sung a song. What was that, crazy? A highway to hell, wasn't it? Something like that. Highway to... Yeah, AC/DC. Huh? Yeah, and they sung that song and said, we're going to party. You remember that? I don't remember the exact words. I'd try to forget them if I could. Huh? And talk about we're going to meet my friends in hell. And we're going to... You ain't no parties in hell. Huh? Now, come on now. You say, this is terrible. I know. You got to have one of these every now and then, I reckon. I'm going to tell you, the Lord said, woe unto you, because you had me, and you rejected me. What about Judas? In that old famous sermon, you've heard a lot of people preach it. He kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. We got so many denominations today, and I think I blowed them out of the water last night. The pastor got pale on me. But I told them the denominations won't go to heaven. And they just looked at me like, oh, Lord, this guy's got off the wagon. But they ain't. There's only one church, one body of Christ. We're either in it or out of it. Huh? Ain't that right? Amen. I don't want to go to hell. You believe in hell? I believe it's there. I don't want to go there. Talk about that book, 90 Minutes in Heaven? Wonder if there's one out 90 minutes in hell. Huh? 23 minutes? You know, I don't know about that. I know they didn't get far out. I doubt if anybody's actually went into heaven in the essence of it all, and definitely not gone into hell and got out, because there's no exits in hell. I said, there's no exits in hell. It's a little tough. I want you to think it over, because I'm going to tell you, I know y'all sanctified people. I love you. But you need this right here to stay sanctified. You hear me? I'm telling you, we have had it made in the shade on a downhill grade, sipping lemonade. You say, not us. Oh, yes, we have. We went through unemployment in this county 25%, and nobody in the church out of work. You don't remember that, but it happened. We've been blessed to God. Our electric bill here at the church was $3,600 a month before last. $3,600. For what? And they're not even wanting us to use lights that you can't even see with. Thanks to Al Gore. Huh? You say, what do you mean? I mean, God gave us the funds to keep the lights on. Huh? Keep the preacher fat? God's been good to us. You know the least we can do is live for Him. And you know what happens if we don't? If we don't live for Him, I think He's going to call us on the carpet over it. And He's going to say, you had a grand opportunity. And He said about that city, Sodom, kind of like San Francisco. He said if they had had a Bible like you had, if they had Jesus Christ walking the streets of Sodom, they would have not been destroyed. In other words, you're worse than they are. What's worse than sodomy? Having the opportunities they had and still rejecting the Son of God. Well, you don't like that. I love you. I'm glad it ain't my birthday offering today. Hallelujah. Let's stand.